Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Sixers and Ben Simmons standoff continues. Is a resolution off the table? Brian Windhorst is in studio with the latest. And big man battle in Utah. Rudy Gobert and Miles Turner mixed it up. We saw four ejections. Was this a kerfuffle or a brouhaha? Steph Curry is the betting favorite to win the MVP, but he's not the reason the Warriors will win the title. What? We'll explain. NBA Today starts right now. It is NBA Today, and it is Friday. I'm Malika Andrews. Richard Jefferson is going to be with us from New York. Kendrick Perkins, Brian Windhorst, all with me here in studio. Zach Lowe will join us later. And guys, it's been a whole week since we talked about Ben Simmons on the show. But alas, we have new development. So here was Sixers coach Doc Rivers last night before Philly hosted Toronto.
He was in our film, and I honestly didn't know, but he was because, you know, he was in the back and I didn't see him. Once the season started, I'm just focusing on that. And I let Darryl and Elton and those guys handle all the other stuff.
How do you make sure that the chemistry doesn't go south when he returns?
Keith, again, I'm not worried about that. He's not here. Like, I'm focused on Toronto. When and if that happens, we will deal with it, and it'll be okay. I believe that. But right now, I honestly, God, if of all the 40 things I did today, that was not on the list. So I'm not even that concerned by it.
So The Athletic shared this quote from Simmons' agent, Rich Paul. I truly believe the fines, the targeting, the negative publicity shined on this issue, that's very unnecessary and has furthered the mental health issues for Ben. So either you can help Ben or come out and say he's lying, which is it? So back here in Los Angeles, Brian, we have Richard Jefferson beaming in, joining us. But Brian, you spoke to Rich Paul. What did you learn?
We have to realize that Rich is speaking for Ben because Ben hasn't spoken publicly since June, since the end of the playoffs last year. And so what Rich is saying is that he doesn't believe that the Sixers actually, he doesn't think that the Sixers are helping Ben return to play by the way that they're behaving with these fines. He thinks it's actually counterproductive. Mm. And really, if I could just say what the bottom line here is, and really this has been the bottom line for months, Malika, and I'm afraid to say it's gonna be the bottom line for months going forward. Ben does not wanna be there, but wants to get paid. The 76ers want Ben to play, but in lieu of that, don't want to pay him. And frankly, the NBA doesn't want that either because it then sets the precedent. If you're not happy with your situation, not only can you demand a trade, you can demand a trade and not play and still get paid. And so that is where we are. We are at a stalemate. And everything about it, the fines, the using of the escrow, seeing a therapist, all of those are details in this overall fight that is really about that bare principle. And I don't think we have any end in sight. And what Rich Paul is basically doing here is coming out, putting his name on it, and making that clear.
Okay, no end in sight. So Richard, at this point, I mean, do you see any way in which Simmons is going to be able to play for the Sixers?
Again, you never say never because ultimately, you know, cooler heads can prevail. But I will point to, and people have been talking about it recently, you look at the John Wall situation. John Wall was told that, hey, stay home, right? Until we figure out what we want, what we're going to do moving forward, we're okay with you staying home and getting paid. And so when you look at that, these are two situations where you have like high level, high attention type players. One doesn't want to be there and wants to get traded and they're trying to force him to come. One is just has too bloated of a contract and they're like, look, stay home. So there's just so many different ways to handle this. And I will be honest, both sides are handling this probably not as well as they could.
Do you agree, Perk?
Here's the thing, right? like, mental health is serious, okay? And I don't want to say that Ben Simmons is lying. Matter of fact, I wish him well. I hope he get through this trying time, you know, if he is dealing with mental health. But what I'm saying right now is a few things. One, that Ben Simmons' plan is backfiring on him right now, because if you look at the steps that he tried to take to force his way out of Philly, saying he wouldn't report, saying that he wasn't going to show up, he wasn't going to play in Philly again, then all of a sudden the fines started to come in. Here's the thing. I understand, as Rich Paul being his agent, he's supposed to support his client and step up when need be. But we're just waiting on a statement from Ben Simmons. We are talking about a grown man here. Like, at some point, like Calvin Ridley did for the NFL, make a statement. Say that you're battling this. It's okay. But I said this before. Look, it was going to come a time where it was going to be that one ownership group that was going to put their foot down and make a stance. And now you have this ownership group of the Philadelphia 76ers who's not budging, who's making a stand. And guess what? All owners from around the NBA are supporting the ownership group and saying, fight this fight. So this is where we're at.
One thing that Rich also said to me was that if Ben is healthy, which he is, the only thing that's keeping him from playing right now is because he's not mentally in the mindset to do it.
Yeah, but you got to communicate that. Like, you can't just say, I'm going to deal with this. And
he is communicating it, but I think the issue is the Sixers thing. You have to communicate it on our terms. But, Perk, your point about the ownership standing up to this, I think this is a league-wide problem. Because last year you had the Thunder putting out a statement saying, Al Horford isn't going to play. He's fine. Well, he's not going to play him because we're going to try to trade him. We don't want him to get hurt. John Wall, same thing. Like, we're not going to play him. Once you set the tone that it's okay for some guys not to get paid and wait for a trade, and it's not okay for other guys not to get paid and wait for the trade, that's a league issue, Perk. And I know that that's an Adam Silver issue that has been spinning in this direction and has come to this reckoning.
Yes. You look incredulous, Perk.
Yeah, but it's communication. It's communication. John Wall is Rich Paul client, right? Right? Doesn't John Wall, and he's under Clutch Sports. It's about communication. And John Wall actually is sitting on the bench. He's actually visible at every game. And it wasn't just like it was him saying, I'm not going to play. The Rockets was, you know, in on this. In the Al Horford situation, Sam Preston was saying, Al, look, you don't have to play. So, like, it's a communication thing. So when Ben just goes silent and feel like he's going to do things his way without communicating, not returning people's phone.
He would say, Perk, that he told them in June, trade me, and then he told them in August, Brian, I'm not going to play. I mean,
like, we have one side of it. We have Rich Paul's side of it, and I didn't hear stories as well. I talked to Doc Rivers as well, that things I would not air out that me and Doc Rivers talked about, that I could say, hey, no, that's not how the meeting went.
All right, Richard.
Everybody is making good points, but I really like what Brian says. This is a league issue, because as much as we talk about putting your foot down, and you're right, Perk, the Philadelphia 76ers owners are just like, hey, this is what it's going to be. We're willing to go. And you could tell by Daryl Morey joking, if you will, saying that, hey, this could be a four-year issue. Again, even when he said that, that was a direct shot. Because if this is a four-year issue, then let's be honest, and Daryl Morey hasn't done his job properly. You got to be able to move on and move the franchise forward. But this is a league issue. You can't have, like you said, John Wall. Then you have Al Horford. You have other players during the trade deadline that are constantly asked to sit out because we're trying to trade you. And when the trade doesn't go through, next thing you know, they're like, all right, well, let's go and finish the season. So this is a league issue that needs to be handled. And this, sometimes moments like this, where you have two sides that aren't backing down, that's when you get the league to kind of step in and says, we need to adjust this protocol.
Well, Richard, remember at the beginning of our show, we had Adam Silver on, and I asked him about this precedent that seems to be in motion here. And Adam Silver said, yes, you know, we've had a lot of cases over the years of guys feeling, right, like they potentially didn't want to be where they were. What's unique about this situation is the time and money left and the fact that it still hasn't resolved itself. But Adam Silver said, you know, this is why we have contracts. That's the phrase that he used. But clearly, a contract isn't enough to be moving this situation. Another situation that we had was over in Utah last night. Two of the best defensive bigs in the league, they went at it. Let's take a look. Rudy Gobert and the Jazz were hosting Miles Turner and the Pacers. They got their game faces on. This is the third quarter. The Pacers are up 9. Turner, look at this. He blocks Gobert at the rim, but Gobert thought he was fouled. Here you see him yelling at the ref. He received a technical for that play. So then in the fourth quarter, things getting chippy. Another block right here.
Nice.
But this time, look, after the block, Turner and Gobert, they start mixing it up with each other. They have to be separated. And as Turner and Gobert get tangled.
Cute.
Oh, my God.
The little grabby grab.
It appears Gobert maybe dragged him.
So sweet.
And then you see that Turner taking exception
huggy
with that. Here's your huggy. But look
at
while
it.
They're hug wrestling, yeah. Joe Ingles, and he used to be really upset to piss off Joe Ingles, makes contact with the referee. So Ingles would be ejected. You can't do that. So then later in the scuffle, look, Donovan Mitchell also makes contact with the referee. So Mitchell was ejected. Turner and Gobert were ejected, but the Pacers win.
We know we ain't going to fight.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, like, guys need to stop acting like they're going to fight because they know that in 2 seconds there's going to be 20 security guards in between us, and they know that, okay, it's cool for the cameras, but they know we aren't going to fight. Like, guys that are not about that life need to stop acting like they are, because at some point, like, I might have to stand up for myself.
Everybody saw what happened. I thought it was a dirty play. You know, there was a, I'm not sure which ref, somebody saw. I thought all that could have been prevented, but that's besides the point. You know, he pulled me down. I wasn't about to take that, so got to roll.
You know, Miles is one of the guys that's leading the charge. You know, guys try him, and he's the best shot blocker in the world. He's going against the second best shot blocker tonight. And, you know, I think Miles showed what he was tonight.
We've had a lot of fight night talk on this show this week. And Perk, after we talked about the Morris and Jokic debacle, we noted that you've had one or two dust-ups over the course of
more than
of
one
his career. But we just heard Rudy Gobert say, we knew we weren't going to fight. What did you think?
He probably wasn't going to fight. But look, let's... I will say this. I mean, that was just funny. 2 7-footers just doing a little huggy hug. It was cute. Look, it wasn't nothing. It was a little, you know, a little scuffle, a little tangle up. Like, that's what happened when you're in the trenches. I actually love this type of thing. I mean, look, no punches was thrown. Guys are competing. You got two of the best shot blockers, two bigs getting physical. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with that.
What do you think, Rich?
It was funny. There's nobody that watched that didn't laugh at that.
Perk is still laughing.
Yeah, but even Rudy says it. He goes, no one's going to fight anybody. No one's going to throw punches. He's like, so, you know, look, at the end of the day, this was two guys that got a little bit heated. They decided to do a little do-si-do, a little, you know, four-square dance together in Utah, have a good time. You know, it just, and you, if you know Rudy Gobert and you know Miles Turner, which I do, both of these guys are great human beings, great people. They're not these guys that you think are going to start some stuff. They just got a little overheated.
Overheated. All right, that's fine. Well, as our friend Tim McMahon said, he said, this qualifies as a kerfuffle. It didn't quite raise to the level of a brouhaha. But, Brian, what's the history between
them? Yeah, I think this is actually personal for Miles Turner.
Because why?
Miles has a thing with Rudy Gobert, really going back to the 2019 World Cup in China. The French, you know, slapped the Americans over in China. I was at the game. Gobert was awesome that game. Miles Turner was the starting center for the U.S. And that's always given Miles an edge when they've seen each other since. Plus, Miles thinks he should be like a defensive player of the year candidate. He's been one of the best shot blockers in the league for a while. He sees Gobert with a $200 million contract, says, I'm not that much different of a player. So he gets up when he sees Gobert. And so when he felt like Gobert was grabbing at him,
right,
he was more prone to go back at him.
So we mentioned, though, that there were four ejections in this game.
Yeah.
Two of them came for pushing, making contact with referees in Mitchell and Joe Ingles. Should we expect to see any discipline from the league?
So I don't think for the two big guys, but you got to watch that contact with the officials. Now, so Ingles comes flying in there and slams an official. Now, after the game, the officials on the pool report mentioned that they felt that was that was not intentional contact. He didn't come running in there meaning to hit the ref. But NBA officials and the league office are very protective of the refs. They don't like hands on officials. So if there's any danger, and I don't necessarily think there is, if there's any danger, that would be where I think the discipline would come.
Well, because we can't just have fights on the court. I know you both have been very clear, you know, duke it out, hug it out, whatever it is you do on the court. But kind of do it on the court, but of course it has to spill over to Twitter. So the Pacers Twitter took one last shot at Gobert after the game. It would be fun to see these two in the Defensive Player of the Year race down the stretch. So one more little shot with a little W, you know, add another layer to it.
It was a really good win for the Pacers.
It was a good win. Coming up on NBA Today, speaking of good wins, the Warriors, they're looking like a championship-level squad. Zach Lowe tells us why they may win it all. And Giannis and KD, they've got MVPs. They've got titles. But next, we'll explain why their greatness is still underrated. And finally, we're going to play a little chap it or drop it. Do Brian, Perk, and Richard want to discuss a sneaky MVP candidate or offseason acquisition?
NBA Today is brought to you by Disney Plus Day. Get 1 month of Disney Plus for $1.99 now until November 14th. Now streaming the stories you love.
What's been your most memorable shot?
The next one. Never worried about my shot ever. Look at my splash, look at my drip, hype in my bag, no shit, in the cash, making the grill,
count up an ad, nothing. I usually let my play do the talking.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Golden State has the best record in the NBA this season and are reminiscent of teams that went to five straight finals, winning three of them from 2015 to 2019. For more comparison, Kirk Goldsberry takes us off the charts.
The Golden State Warriors are off to the best start in the NBA because they are red hot on both sides of the court.
I love it.
Led by Stephen Curry, the Dubs' offense is putting up great numbers even without Klay Thompson.
Got it! Oh my goodness!
Earlier this week, the 33-year-old Curry became the oldest player in NBA history with 50 points and 10 assists in a game. The Warriors currently rank third in the NBA in offensive efficiency in large part because they lead the league in shooting efficiency, posting an effective field goal percentage of 56.0, a splashy mark they have not touched since their last finals run in 2018-19.
That's definitely something that jumps off the page.
As if that weren't enough, by allowing just 99.2 points per 100 possessions, Draymond Green and the Dubs also boast the NBA's top-ranked defense.
It's the Draymond Green effect!
They also rank in the top five in both steals and deflections per game.
Stats out of equal winning.
That's right, Draymond. And there were plenty of wins to be had the last time the Warriors had the league's top defense, in Steve Kerr's first season as head coach when the Dubs won it all in 2015.
The Baze team is the best team.
If these Warriors can keep their two-way attack firing on both cylinders, we could be in for a familiar sight at the end of the season.
Thank you, Kirk. So senior writer Zach Lowe joins us now. And you've been driving the Warriors bandwagon all season long, Zach, but there's still a long way to go. But the Warriors, they'll hoist up the Larry O'Brien trophy if. What's the end of that sentence?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ooh, that's a big sentence. So it all starts with one
Clay's got to be 85, 90% of Clay, because the competition by the end of the season is going to be fierce, and things are about to get harder for the Warriors, who've had an easy schedule. Almost every game's been at home. So they got to get something from Clay, and I think they're going to need some health luck, bad luck, to befall other teams, whether it's Jamal Murray's slower to recover than we think, Kawhi Leonard doesn't become Kawhi Leonard if he even returns this season. The Nets remain, I don't know what to describe the Nets, a fiasco, whatever is going on with the Nets. I still think those teams at full health would be ahead of the Warriors, but if they get Clay back, and Clay's almost old Clay, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the NBA.
Can you back up from the camera a little bit? Why is your face so close? Like,
I have,
can you
I have
back
been,
up a little
I,
bit?
It's I have pretty, been it's asking okay. you that for months, and you still won't address it when you're in this camera. So back to my original point, Zach, the one thing that you're accounting for when you're talking about Jamal Murray and Kawhi Leonard is that Klay Thompson is coming back months before those guys. He's slated to come back in the next few weeks, where we don't have a timetable for Jamal Murray. We know it's going to be months, and Kawhi Leonard is going to be months. So we can't really throw those two iffy teams, because Klay will have a whole few months to acclimate before those guys are even ready to start playing. That's one. I truly believe that the Warriors become the best version of themselves if the guys like Wiseman, if Poole, Gary Payton II, if Otto Porter, if those guys are studs. Because when you go back to the 15 and 16 team, the team that won 73 wins, the team that won the championship, their bench was furious. Their death lineup, all of those things were about a team and everyone moving at a cohesive unit. We know Steph, we know Clay, we know Dre. It's the rest of the guys that we will have questions about. And if those guys play well, then the Warriors should be the favorite.
I 100% agree with you, RJ. And it comes to the others. Yes, I agree with you. We know what Clay could bring if he's healthy. We know the experience that Andre Iguodala has, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green. But when it gets to the playoffs, are the guys like Jordan Poole, are the guys like Damian Lee, Wiseman, can they adjust on the fly? Can they pay attention to the little details, the things that don't show up in the stat sheet? Can they be able to be consistent when guys take away their strength on the offensive end and be able to counter and do things on, and do things in counter? Because we all know, when the playoffs start, the scouting report book gets a little thicker, and guys key in on guys. So, throughout the regular season, you move on to the next game. But in the seven-game series, all of a sudden, things become a little tougher. Those shots become more meaningful. And so that's what I'm talking about when I look at the Golden State Warriors, like those others. Can Andrew Wiggins be that two-way player, defend a guy like LeBron James for a seven-game series, not stop him, but control him enough where they can actually win the series?
The scouting report gets thicker and the rotation gets shorter. I asked Draymond Green this exact thing. The Warriors win a championship if, and he said, if Jordan Poole continues to grow, if we continue to get better defensively, even though they're already pretty good at turning teams over, if they cut down on their own turnovers, and if they get Clay back. So we all are kind of in Draymond's head, because I think we touched on all of those little things. But Perk, who is the player on the team that isn't Steph Curry, Draymond, Clay, that is a key to their title run?
It's Andre Iguodala, a guy that they bought back, a guy that they know is so valuable. And Richard, fix your damn face, bro. Listen, just listen for a second. He is so key for that second unit. When I look at how he controls the game, being able to be that point forward type guy, because the Warriors do a lot of cutting and things of that nature. So when Steph Curry goes out the game, I love how Andre Iguodala steps up as a leader. So he is the most important, in my opinion, because it's so key for those young guys.
We get it. This is what I'm trying to express here. The fact that you're saying that Andre Iguodala, who I could have played against in college, and I'm 41 years old, is the key to them being successful. Andre is going to be an important piece to what they do, but it really comes down to Wiseman. If Wiseman can turn into, we look at what DeAndre Ayton has done, the jumps that he has made. He hasn't turned into this crazy offensive threat, but if Wiseman can learn how to roll and replace, and Stephen A., as much as I rarely quote the big fella, the OG brings it up. If you can win it with Andrew Bogut and you can win it with Zaza Pachulia, if Wiseman can develop into a good role player, he's highly skilled. He was the number one pick. He has all of these things. If he can contribute just enough, then I think the Warriors have a very, very tough time being beaten.
Well, first of all, he was the number two pick. Let's get that right. And then second of all, the Golden State Warriors were better when Wiseman went down. They actually were better with Looney in the lineup. And so here's the thing. I know the ceiling is bright for Wiseman, but let's not act like him and Steve Kerr were not on the same page last year. So I
he was 19 years old. He was 19 years old. He was 19 years old and was a rookie.
I understand that. But it sounds like to me that you're hating on Andre Iguodala because he's able to still be athletic. He's still able to play at that age, and you wasn't. You became a mentor, but he's still able to provide those type of meaningful minutes that the Warriors need. That's why they brought him back, Richard. That's why.
Yeah, Andre Iguodala will be the key to winning the championship for the Warriors.
Well, he was the finals MVP. Zach and I have had some interesting discussions. We've had some interesting discussions about James Wiseman, about his usage. So I am curious, Zach, who is your guy that you're looking at outside of their kind of core three?
Well, these guys, between making fun of each other, name damn near every player on the Warriors roster. And whenever you ask this question, it tends to be either young guys, young guys, young guys. Oh, Wiseman's exciting. Poole's exciting. Or old guys, old guys, old guys like Andre Iguodala. Perk mentioned the right name for like a second and moved on. And the name is Andrew Wiggins. Mm. Nobody ever brings up Andrew Wiggins because he's boring. He puts up the same numbers every year all the time.
He wasn't boring when he dunked the other night.
They're going to need the best version of Andrew Wiggins if they want to win four playoff series. That's Andrew Wiggins, above average three-point shooter on good volume. That's Andrew Wiggins, like Perk said, defending everyone from number one point guards to number one wings. Because guess what? Klay Thompson, everyone wants to talk about his shooting. He was massively important to the Warriors' defense. Their second-best perimeter defender, maybe third-best after Andre. He guarded point guards, guarded lots of guys. I don't know if you can ask him to do that fresh off those two severe injuries. The burden on Andrew Wiggins is going to be enormous. He can play a lot of minutes. We know that. So I'm looking at him. You guys can focus on the sexier names. I'll take the boring one because he's the one that means the most.
But, Zach, you and I have been on multiple shows together when I have said that this is the best thing for Andrew Wiggins. Now he gets to be the third option. He don't have to be the number one pick. So I don't understand when you sit up here and say that guys are overlooking him. And then you say, I touched on him for a split second. First of all, it takes a minute for me to even get his name out.
It takes a minute for you to just get some words out, and it's okay. But top, they want to be there. And speaking of top, coming up is the top of this week. And it is so good that these plays didn't even make the cut. NBA Today rolls on.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Live from Los Angeles, welcome back to NBA Today.
Welcome back. This week we had some of the best top plays of the season thus far, hands down. So let's run it back with the top plays of the week. And let's start with game winners. Luka Magic. Luka.
That back.
And that is all she wrote.
Mm-hmm. He always do that to the Celtics.
Going to his left. They tried to cut off the left. Look, there's three guys there. They tried to cut off that left, man.
Yeah.
You got to get it out of his left hand. If it's Luka, you got to force him right. Give him a layup.
And just last night, UC Riverside.
Oh, that hurt.
Arizona State. Oh!
Love it.
We knew you
love
would.
Love it.
We knew you would.
Love it. I love it.
That was all
they're
net,
trash.
Too.
Arizona State coached by a Duke coach. You know they're in trouble.
All right, let's take a look at top moves. Ja Morant.
You know they're in trouble. Hate to see it.
No, he had to be on here.
He's always on here.
Ooh.
Ooh. Crossover? All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a year for him.
Is most improved, him or Tyler Hero, most improved?
Perk?
I mean.
You know he's taking Ja Morant. You know he is. All right, in Utah, Jordan Clarkson. I mean, he put him on skates. Sorry, Gallinari.
In his bag.
Does that rhyme? Well, sorry, Gallinari.
He knew. Gallinari just gave up at that point in time. But are we gonna talk about the Hawks? Where the Hawks been?
Well, we're gonna talk about the top dunks, that's for sure, Richard. It starts with Andrew Wiggins had a night against his old teammate.
You said you wanted D'Lo, huh?
Oh my God.
You said you wanted D'Lo.
He wanted that. That was extra sauce. People, Andrew Wiggins doesn't play like this every night because he's not playing against the Timberwolves every night.
Well,
that, he's got to figure out a way to muster that up.
He put Cat on a poster there.
All the old heads remember Jason Richardson doing that. Got to give a shout out to Jay Rich.
My goodness, what a night it was for him. All right, let's take a look at some top lobs there. Gary Payton II has been flying all year.
His head's at the rim. Watch this on
my
the replay.
Goodness.
Yes. Oh, Bay Area. His pop's got to be proud of this one. Look at this right there. Head at the rim.
Amazing.
And he's
but
only like a,
last
he's
but
like
not
a
least,
6'4
you guys,
guard.
You got to see this.
Here comes Rozier. He's got miles.
I'm just going to say, as an athlete up here, as me and Malika being the only two athletes up here on this panel,
that can always get in to the upper
now.
Room. So, security guard, please open that velvet rope for Miles Bridges to join us into the upper room.
I still don't think
if
that was
by
us.
The end.
Yeah, if that was us, I think our upper room might have been a little different, right? Well, maybe.
I wonder if you would have made the upper room, you know what I mean, while you was playing. You had some highlights, though. No, in a good way. Why are you rolling your eyes? I'm giving
because at the end.
He doesn't
at
trust
the end
your
of
compliments.
Day, like, if it was, no, God, no. I wouldn't trust anything from birth. Compliment, food, CPR, nothing. I ain't trusting nothing.
No CPR. Hey,
Perk,
that is certain.
If they ever tell me that you're the only person there from mouth to mouth, just let me die. Just let me die. At the pearly gates, if God says it, I'd be like, you know what?
You know what?
I'm okay with that.
I'm good. Well, you know what, Rich? Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, they might make it into the upper room at some point this season. Mm-hmm. And coming up on NBA Today, they have been carrying their teams to start the season. But does our panel need to see more from him? That's next. So to more than state the obvious, winning a championship is hard. And then things don't get any easier once you've won. You're no longer the hunter, you're the hunted. And last season, the Bucks won their first championship since 1971 when Kareem and company did it. And that means night in and night out, they have gotten every team's best shot. And through 10 games, they felt it. Between that and injuries, Milwaukee started the season 4-6. And then came Monday when they took a trip to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
We are grateful for this opportunity, and it's a great example. With a lot of hard work, you can accomplish a lot of things in life, and this is one of those amazing gifts.
Giannis has spent a lifetime putting in the work. On Monday, the Finals MVP enjoyed the fruits of his labor, a trip with the NBA champions to the White House, and a special FaceTime with an absent teammate.
Please pick up, please. Please, this is... Oh, man.
Hey, Chris, how you doing? How you doing, man? Who's that I hear in the background there?
Thank God you picked up, Chris.
On Tuesday, it was back to work. The Bucks traveled a few miles up I-95 to Philadelphia, and Giannis made the difference in the final moments.
Antetokounmpo, drive, corner, jumper, Allen, Nylon. This is a must stop. It's not gonna happen.
Sometimes it's pretty, sometimes it's ugly, but win is a win.
24 hours later, just a few hours north to the world's most famous arena.
We played them like 3 games ago, beat us by 20. Definitely had that in the back of our mind.
Off the steal, Antetokounmpo.
Tonight, the Bucks finished their trip up the Northeast Quarter in Boston on ESPN. Milwaukee isn't at the level they'd want at 6-6, but you're guaranteed to get Giannis's best. His best is what got him here. Giannis is doing it all again for the Bucks this season, as he's one of five players leading his team in points, rebounds, assists per game. And Giannis is on pace for his fourth career season, averaging 25 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, as he seeks to break a tie with Oscar Robertson for the most such seasons in NBA history. And he'll need his best, because the Bucks are still there without Chris Middleton. You saw him being FaceTimed, Brooke Lopez, Dante DiVincenzo. And then the Celtics are a game under 500, and they're playing without Jaylen Brown. So, Perk, which team needs tonight's game more?
It's the Celtics, and reason why is because they have been inconsistent, right? They haven't found their identity. They just got their first home win last game, and Jason Tatum has to rise to the occasion. I see that he's averaging a couple more assists over the last few games, but he has to get back to scoring at a high efficiency level. And I think tonight is going to be one of those nights, is a measuring stick when he going against who I believe is the best player in the world, and Giannis Antetokounmpo at home. And I think with Jaylen Brown being out, I think it got to be the Celtics.
I agree with Perk. You know, even though he keeps flip-flopping between saying that Kevin Durant and Giannis, it depends on what type of coffee he had. One of those
that.
Two are always best player. But what we're going to get back to is I think Boston needs to win this, because ultimately I think you look at Milwaukee, they're all pushing in the same direction. They know the formula. They know what they need to do. They just need to get healthy. You got to get DiVincenzo back. Brooke Lopez, obviously, with the back issues. And that's a big component, because defensively, what Brooke Lopez does for you, and offensively, it's both sides of the floor. You're missing guys that are big contributors on both sides of the floor. You're not just missing offense or defense. So I think the Boston Celtics need to win this game, because ultimately there's more questions for them in the long term than I think the Milwaukee Bucks.
Zach?
Need? All the Bucks need
not
is health.
Need, not
the
need.
Bucks are fine.
Yeah.
The Bucks are. No, I'm saying need. All the Bucks need is health. They're totally off the radar, and they love it. They've been missing four starters for most of the season. Not three, four. Everybody forgets about Dante DiVincenzo. And they're 6-6, and they're fine. All they need is to get healthy. And I'll say this. I love the way they've played without all those guys. I love kind of how other guys have had to step up. We'll talk more about Giannis in a second. I think when the Bucks get healthy, they are going to go on an absolutely ferocious run across the league and zoom up the standings. So tonight, everyone, whatever RJ and Perk just said is absolutely right. The Celtics have much more uncertainty. It's been a volatile couple of weeks from them. They need this game more than the Bucks, who just need health.
So, Zach, your weekly 10 things column was posted on ESPN.com today, and Giannis Antetokounmpo is featured in it. What do you like about him right now?
I love the way he's approached this challenge, right? All my supporting cast, my best supporting cast guys are out. The wall that defenders are of that I see every possession, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, more and more guys. And it's forced him to test himself more as a passer and a playmaker. And you can see in true Giannis fashion, he enjoys it. And he's becoming a better passer. He's paying more attention to, when do I have to get off of it early? Or when do I take like that one extra dribble that sucks in the defense and boom, Grayson Allen's more wide open. He's making passes faster, a greater variety of passers. And beyond that, I love that Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, even Jordan Nwora have been elevated into these roles and forced to do more. And Pat Connaughton took like 14 threes the other end against the Knicks. That's going to serve all of them well in the playoffs against elite defenses when the Bucks are at full strength, because they have this experience now as almost like number two options behind Giannis in some of these games. I think this is going to serve the Bucks well, and if they get healthy, they're going to reassert themselves as the favorites to win the championship, depending on what happens with Kyrie in Brooklyn.
So one of the teams that Milwaukee beat en route to the championship last season was the Brooklyn Nets. And they started out slow, but they're quietly playing good basketball. They've won 7 of 10. Kevin Durant leads the league in scoring still. But maybe a bigger claim to fame is that he is the top billing in your 10 things column. Zach, why do you have him so high?
They were playing in Toronto last week, and Toronto's play-by-play guy, the great Matt Devlin, said, "This is the first time Kevin Durant's been on this court since game 5 of the 2019 finals when he tore his Achilles." And that just stopped me in my tracks. I was at that game, and I remember what it felt like to see Kevin Durant crumple over. I remember what it felt like to see Bob Myers, the Warriors GM, crying at a press conference. It felt like the league would never be the same again. And then it was, you know, well, Kevin's a great jump shooter. He's 7 feet tall. He, you know, he can age like Dirk Nowitzki. Even if he never regains his athleticism, he'll be an elite 7 foot jump shooter like Dirk. To see this night in and night out, 30 a game, 59% shooting, 64% on twos, and just guys can't do anything with him. Guys are trying to get in his face. They're clapping. They're trying to guard him. And he's like, oh, hey, that's cute. I'm 7 feet tall. Let me just pull up and shoot this right over you. And they're all going in. It just seemed so far from that reality 2 years ago when he fell and crumpled on that court. Mm. Cherish it every night, because what we're seeing is totally unprecedented for someone coming off an Achilles tear, yeah, and someone asserting himself as one of the 10 greatest players of all time at worst.
I'm going to be really honest. Like, everybody, we joke about Zach and we give him a little bit of mess, but every time this man speaks, you need to listen. It's like going to basketball college. Perk, I know you don't know what college means, but like, it's about going to college. I know you didn't have to go. It was a compliment.
Take the compliment, Perk. I feel sorry that you didn't have the privilege to do the
same. Yeah, take the compliment, Perk. But that was really it. Anytime you get an opportunity to check out Zach Lowe's 10 things, you got to do it.
What do you think of KD, Perk? I know no one's given any of you guys a column.
I think he's the early season front runner for the MVP. I mean, in my eyes, he's the greatest scorer of all time. And I said this before, that the changing of the basketball has affected everybody else, not Kevin Durant. He has been carrying this Nets team. Even though James Harden has not been consistent, he hasn't had his best start. Kyrie Irving hasn't been there. So yep. When I say that Giannis is the best player in the league, that doesn't mean I can't say that Kevin Durant is my early season front runner for MVP, Richard.
You have him over Steph. You have him over Steph. Okay.
I said what I said.
He said what he said, and he's leaving it there. But, Richard, he did mention James Harden, who hasn't been having the start that a lot of people thought, and I think that's because of a couple of things. Did he come into the season with the conditioning that he probably should have or could have if he hadn't had that hamstring injury? But when I'm looking at James Harden, one thing that keeps coming up and folks I'm talking to around the Nets is that he doesn't have a guy to throw lobs to. He doesn't have that lob-catching running big in the same way. Yes, they have Blake Griffin, they have LaMarcus, but a rolling big, a true rolling big, and they've been without Nick Claxton. So when he comes back, I'm also looking to see if that chemistry takes a little bit of the load off of Kevin Durant. But he has been like jaw-dropping, must-watch, absolutely spectacular. The question is, can he get some help so that he doesn't have to do that night in and night out? Because they're hoping that this is going to be a long season. But it's also a long show. So coming up next, we will play our new favorite game. It's Chop It or Drop It. Discuss if PG-13 is an MVP candidate.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Keep it locked.
I got a lot of love, you know, and compassion and respect for those who've served. I know people personally who've served, and a lot goes on that we don't know about. It's all for the greater good of us, you know, and to allow us to live our lives every day without that pressure and that stress. So, you know, much love to all those who served, and respect.
Welcome back to NBA Today, here with Richard. I'm just glad he decided to show up.
He didn't have iron.
Yeah, Wendy's here.
No, you know,
here.
There's an umbrella in here. It is raining in New York. This is
Richard,
bad luck. This is bad luck.
Away.
What?
Let's play one of our newest segments. Let's play Chop It or Drop It. Are we going to chop or drop Richard? Just kidding. All right, I'm going to give you guys some topics, and we're either going to chop it up or we're going to drop it. If you're not interested, you say drop it. If you're interested, we keep it going. You guys ready?
Yep, let's
go. All right,
yeah.
Let's get it. First, it's the Clippers. They're currently riding a 6-game win streak, and Paul George is averaging 26 points, close to 8 rebounds, and 7 assists over the span. Is PG a legitimate MVP candidate, Chop It or Drop It, Perk?
Chop It. And yes, he is. He is playing some phenomenal basketball as the number one option. And right now, give T. Lewis flowers. A lot of people out there said, hey, he just had success. because of LeBron James, he's coaching and getting the best out of his players and Paul George right now.
All right. Well, we also had some dust-ups across the NBA this week. Morris versus Jokic, Turner versus Gobert. But is Kendrick Perkins, is he still the toughest guy in the NBA? Yeah. He drop was, it or
no,
drop it, Richard.
No, no, no. Drop that nonsense.
What you
drop
mean?
That nonsense.
He's not in the NBA.
He's not in what? What? Perk's toughest.
I mean, I'm standing next to him. A little bit more of a risk for me than you.
Hey, relax. You relax. You shouldn't even ask them this question. We gotta chop it. You know why? Because we're going with Perk's toughest players in the NBA right now.
First
team all back alley, okay? Guys, I would not want to see if I'm walking down the dark alley. Coming in at number five, we going with P.J. Tucker. Yes, from North Carolina. He grew up in a city with only two stoplights, and he used to wear no shoes. I don't want to deal with a guy like that. Coming in at number four, yep, Montrezl Harrell. Montrezl Harrell, he's a goon. He's about that life. Coming in at number three, Chi-Town. I think he's from the South Side. Patrick Beverly. He's small, but he got a big heart. Coming in at number two, James Johnson. I don't know if he's a black belt. What is it, in karate or whatever the case may be? I don't want no smoke. I don't want no smoke. Coming in at number one, we going with the OG, Udonis Haslam, raised in Dade County. First team.
He actually played a game this week where he didn't get thrown out.
Hasn't
happened in years, quite frankly.
He's
missing Aquaman. How do you keep out Steven Adams? How do you keep out Aquaman?
Well,
Listen, my dad lives in New Zealand, and he said it's the safest place to live in the world. That's why.
So meeting in dark alleys.
I'm not messing with no Kiwis.
Is he missing anybody, Brian?
I mean, Steven Adams and Perk used to have some fierce battles in practice.
I love Steve.
Careful what you say. You're a little close.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I don't know who I'd pick in that. I might go with the Kiwi in that one, man.
Well, we'll have more NBA today. But in the break, I think we need to talk about who's the toughest on NBA today.
Y'all can keep that.
We have some awesome games this weekend. Perk and I, we'll see you at halftime. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Richard, I don't even know what he's going to be doing. I just hope you're okay out there. NFL Live is next. Bye, Richard.